a promising new drug for Lilly.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. It could be the first major breakthrough in treating schizophrenia in 50 years, an experimental drug from Eli Lilly. The journal Nature reports the new drug reduces symptoms of the disease without serious side effects. This could be a blockbuster for Lilly. The company's other schizophrenia med, Zyprexa, had $4.3 billion in sales last year. But Zyprexa causes severe weight gain and has been linked to diabetes. Drugs for schizophrenia and bipolar disorder are the fourth best-selling class of medicines in the U.S. The stock markets in Asia were mixed overnight. Shares in Tokyo fell when Japan's government reported an unexpected drop in corporate investment. But in Shanghai, stocks rose to a record. In Europe, the major markets are up for a fourth straight session. U.S. markets have the day off. On this Labor Day, news the American worker is the most productive in the world. That's according to a new report from the International Labor Organization in Geneva. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, what do these figures show?
Well, they show that Americans work longer hours than the citizens of most other developed countries and are, by a long chalk, the most productive. These figures are actually quite startling. The UN's arrived at them by taking total GDP and dividing it by the number of people employed. And these show that the average US worker produces $63,885 worth of output a year. And that compares with small countries like Ireland, Luxembourg, and Belgium, which come next in the rankings, which produce only around $55,000.
I would imagine that a lot of this has to do with the extent to which, particularly in the States, we have this huge availability to or of information technology.
That's what the UN says. It's clearly that the whole computer and telecom revolution has gone faster and further in the US than perhaps anywhere else. Also, they point to the way American companies organize themselves and the generally high level of competition in the country as a whole.
Stephen Beard in London, thanks for the encouraging words on our Labor Day.
Keep working.
And they'll return to work in Congress this week, plunging into hearings on the crisis in the mortgage market. The House Financial Services Committee kicks things off on Wednesday. Steve Tripoli has a preview.
A wide swath of the political spectrum now agrees that tighter standards are in order. Desmond Lachman of the conservative-leaning American Enterprise Institute says congressional action's a must.
What I would think is really important is that one extends regulation to a lot of these mortgage originators who aren't subject to federal regulation.
That's about half of recent mortgage lenders. But Lachman fears the crisis will lead Congress to overreact.
What I'm concerned about is that Congress is going to engage in a wholesale bailout with taxpayers' money of lenders and borrowers who've made very bad decisions.
House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank has made no secret of his belief that this crisis was caused by too little regulation. But Frank also says you can't bail everyone out. The challenge will be in separating people who were duped into bad mortgages from those who knew they were gambling. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world, online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
Maybe you'll celebrate the unofficial end of summer today with some ice cream. Among popular shops, there's Ben & Jerry's, Baskin-Robbins, and Stolcombe Creamery. Stone cold, where they smush toppings into your ice cream on a cold granite stone. We wanted to bring back a report we featured earlier this year on something else Cold Stone does that's a little more controversial. Here's Marketplace's Sean Cole.
The legend goes like this. Once upon a time, in a faraway land called Tempe, Arizona, the crew at the first ever Cold Stone Creamery wanted to come up with a way to thank their customers for tips. So they decided to sing to them peppy, cheerleadery kinds of songs. It was fun, and the company grew and grew, and now, at each of its hundreds of stores...
Every time a tip goes in the jar, one of our crew members will lead everybody and say, "Hey, guys, we got a tip!"
All right! When the tip goes in the jar, we'll thank you for your dollar. You came, you saw, you ate a lot, and now you've heard us holler.
Every time. The leader in this case is Cold Stone's Massachusetts area manager, Meredith Bryan. I met her at a Cold Stone in Millbury, Mass. She says memorizing the songbook of 50 or so ice cream-related spoofs is part of the training process. And while other ice cream shops interview prospective employees, Cold Stone auditions them. Bryan says it's like a little American Idol, complete with a Simon Cowell speech for the shy kids.
You know, you may not be the best kid to work at a Cold Stone Creamery, because when that tip goes in the jar, we expect you to belt one out. And if you can't handle it, it's okay. You can go to the Gap. You can go anywhere else. But you can't stay here.
I asked a crew member named Justin Roberts, his name tag says The Justin, if he's ever embarrassed having to belt one out all the time. He says it just becomes automatic after a while.
You're like mixing your ice cream, putting everything in it, and you're just singing. You don't even realize that you're singing.
Hey guys, got another tip. All right. I've got ice cream on a cloudy day. When it's cold.
Meantime, customer response is pretty mixed.
No, I think it's great.
It's just kind of corny.
I want to like grab the Cold Stone, you know, executives and shake them. And tell them that they're selling ice cream. You know, why are you making them audition? Audition for ice cream?
Jason Pfeiffer is a freelance journalist in the area. A while ago, he wrote an article about Cold Stone called The Song That Makes Ice Cream Taste Bad. He says the shtick may have worked at the first store, but when you institute it chain-wide, it just sounds forced.
You can't micromanage the way that your employees at 1,300 stores relate to their customers. I mean, you know, you're selling the same product, you know, but let them have some identity.
Anyway, whether customers tip because of the singing or in spite of it, the tip jars I saw were pretty full, which got me thinking maybe we should try it. I hope that this story put a smile on your face. In Boston, I am Sean. Cole for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Enjoy the holiday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.